Good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord today. And before I start, I just want to give God the glory, the honor, and the praises for us being here today and being alive. Father God, we thank you that we are here today to give you glory, honor, and praises, Father, because it's by you, Father God, that we are alive, Father God, and we are present. And we thank you, Father God, and we do not take our life for granted because we know that it is a gift from you, Father God. And I just say thank you. And I ask, Father God, that you use me as a vessel to send forth your word that you want your people to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are continuing from the book of Ezra. I'm going from chapter 4. And it's talking about facing oppression. A lot of us know about opposition. We know what it is to face opposition as a Christian. Even not as a Christian in the world, we know how it is to have people oppose a situation comes that deteriorate us from where we are going. But God is merciful, and his mercies endures forever, and we will get through because he that is in us is greater than he that lives in the world. And so I will start reading from verse 1. And when the adversities of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord, God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the head of the father's house and said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Ezran, king of Azariah, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the heads of the father's house of Israel said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. I'll stop there for a bit just to go on and emphasize. They were rebuilding the temple of God. They started to rebuild the temple. And as they were rebuilding, people came, like, you know, they came as a friend, saying, you know, we want to help. We come, we want to help because we believe in your God. We serve your God. You know, the same way, like when people we come into church or we decide as Christians, we're giving our life to the Lord. Most people, they come on, you know, they encourage us and they say, yes, come on, give your life to the Lord. But when they start to see the transformation in you, that you are dropping off your old self and you're moving into the person that God has created you to be, then we start to see a difference in them because their spirit now cannot match the spirit that God has given to us because we are shedding off the old things and moving forward. And then verse 4, it says, then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in the building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So that's the same thing that I'm speaking about. They came as they wanted to help build. But from the time they said, no, we don't need your help. We're going to build God's temple. You saw their true reaction, their true colors, their true intentions. Their intentions were never to come to help. Their intentions were to come and pretend like they were helping, but then they would have initially destroyed what they were building or tried to hinder it. So because they had the insight to see it before what was happening, they said, no, we don't need your help. So then they went with their mischief and their lies and they tried to get people to come against them. And that is what we also face as Christians of God, as believers, children of God. We also face it. We face it with family. We face it in our workplace. Sometimes we even face it in church because as we grow more with God and we know our standpoint with him, we are going to be opposed. We are going to face opposition. It is going to come because Jesus said in his word, we are going to face persecutions for his name, for just saying that he is our Lord and Savior. And this is what is happening here in Ezra 4. Amen. So I'm going on to verse 6. So then they went on from verse 7. In the days of Azarias also, he was the king, and they wrote him a letter, but it was written in Amharic script. And it translated. So this is a letter that they sent on their behalf because the Jews decided that they don't need their help. So they wrote this letter, and it goes as follows. To the king of Assyria, from your servant, the men of the region beyond the river and so forth, let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem and are building the rebellious and evil city. I just want to stop there for a minute. When they first went and spoke to the Jews, they said, we want to help you build a temple because we serve the same God that you serve. But in the letter, they've changed their words. It's an evil and rebellious city. So you see how quickly words can change when you're being opposed. Because they came with such kind words. We serve the God that you serve. We want to help build. We sacrifice with the God that you built. But because they said no, it has turned into a rebellious and an evil city. Going forth. And are finishing its walls and repairing the foundation. 13, verse 13. Let it now be known to the king that if this city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom, and the king's treasury will be demolished. Now, I'll stop there for a bit and just go on. It goes to show, like with us, when we first had a lockdown, you know, we went into lockdown, the church was closed. That for us, or in the eyes of non-believers, was a opposition. And to us, it was an opposition because they closed the church where we go to worship, where we go to give reverence to God. But because we know the God that we serve, we know the church is just a building. We know the church is us, the body of Christ. So even if they close the church doors, we still pray. We still worship. We still utilize social media because we know the church is us. We know that we are the body of Christ. And we, as children of God, the Spirit lives in us. We cannot be oppressed. We can choose to let it be done, but if we choose not to and we stand on the word of God, no one can oppress us. No one can stop us from fulfilling the purpose of God because we know the God that we serve and we know that any obstacles that come in our way, he is just and able to move them. And as we were singing, pray, pray, move mountains. And when we begin to pray and we ask God to fight against those that fight against us, we are going to get the vengeance. He is going to seek vengeance on our behalf because he said vengeance is his. Stand still. And when we become afflicted, he fights for our afflictions. So we don't have to do anything. Like what they did, they just stand aside. People would have said, why did they not get up and fight? Why did they not retaliate back to the letter? But they didn't need to send a letter to the king justifying who they are, justifying what they're doing, because they know that God will justify them. It's the same thing with us as children of God. We don't need to justify ourselves to people. We don't need to stand up and represent and have arguments with people. We just have to go to God and pray. When Pastor James said earlier that we need to pray and put our aside our selfish ways, is so true, because if we continue to pray, as God said in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 14, if we but pray and repent of our sins, he will hear from heaven. He will heal the land. And that is what we need to do in every opposition that we face in our lives. We just need to pray. We just need to get on our knees and pray and ask God, Father, have your way. Let your perfect will be done. Because most times the enemy thinks, oh, I have won because we are silent. Or he doesn't see the situation being handle at the appointed time. Sometimes we think, like, you know what, that prayer is not even going to be answered. But look at how merciful and good God is. In the second lockdown, the church remained open. It was recognized as something essential. And it wasn't done because of our good deeds. It was done because of our prayers. The prayers that we lifted up to God, the time that we sacrificed for him to come and pray and worship. And he heard our prayers and he worked on our behalf. So the opposition that was coming against us with the government and everything, God stepped in and said, stop. It will not happen again. My people will not be oppressed. My people are in the season where they are rising up, where they know their God and they're getting back their backbone. Amen. And then I just want to relate a verse back with what I said. It's Matthew 5:10-12. Reason why. Reason why I chose that one is because it said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they reveal and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for they persecute the prophets who were before you. Now, isn't that a reassurance from God? He is saying to be rejoice when we are being persecuted. Rejoice in tribulations. Rejoice when people are trying to oppress us, because our reward is great in heaven. We don't care what reward earth can give us. It's our heavenly reward that is what we need. It's what God wants us to have. So we need to just keep our eyes on him. And when he said, blessed are those who persecute for righteousness' sake. We are persecuted for righteousness' sake, but righteousness is for God. So we are being persecuted for God. We are being persecuted because we said, Father, I choose you as my Lord and Savior. But he is also saying, rejoice in it. Have joy in it that we are being persecuted and we are being oppressed and we are facing oppression, because we know that the destiny that God has for our life is so great that they think that they need to keep us down. They need to keep us confined. Remember, Paul praised God in prison with shackles on his feet. He faced persecution at every angle, but he rejoiced because he knew that when his time came to go home, he would reap in joy everything that he had faced on this earth for the love of Jesus Christ. And that is where we need to be today, brothers and sisters. We need to understand that whatever we are going through is for our Lord and Savior. And if we don't give up and we keep pushing and we keep our eyes on the cross, he will show up. And he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Amen. So I will go on then to verse 13. Where he said, let it now be known to the king. I'll read that again. If this city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom, and the king treasury will be demolished. You know, as a king, if you hear that, you're thinking, oh, so I'm not going to be getting my taxes. I'm not going to be getting my money. And you're thinking like these people are just going to be living free and they're going to be taking what is theirs, what is his. But in truth, it's not his, is it? Because the word said God is the giver of all wealth. Whatever we have, whatever money, whatever treasure we have, it belongs to God. So we have to remember, it's not ours, it is his. And he said it's better to give freely than to be stingy. So that letter birthed a kind of stinginess in this king, because they knew that if they wrote this letter and they wrote it properly and with structure and with words, as they say, adjectives that highlight things to him that caught his attention, that he would retaliate in their favor. No, because we received support from the palace, it was not proper for us to see the king dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king. And that goes back to what Jim said today about us being selfish. In that verse 14, it said, no, because we received support from the palace, it is not proper for us to see the king dishonor. Therefore, we have sent to inform the king. They didn't send to inform the king because they cared about the king. They sent to inform the king because of their own selfish deeds and needs, because they're thinking, oh, we get our resources from the palace. So if this temple is built, we are not going to get the resources and the money that we need. So it had nothing to do with the king. It had to do with their own selfish desires, their own selfish needs that they wanted. Then it goes on to say, that search may be made in the book of the records of your father, and you will find the book of records and know that the city is a rebellious city, harmful to kings and providence, and that they have initiated citations within the city in their former times, for which they caused this city was destroyed. We inform the king that this city is rebuilt. We inform the king, that if this city is rebuilt and if its walls are completed, the result will be that you will receive no dominion over the river. So what they're basically saying in that is that the Jews are rebellious. They're wicked. They're deceitful. They would not pay their tithes. They don't deserve to rebuild the temple. If they rebuild the temple, they would be dependent on their own self. They wouldn't need them. And they don't want them because they wanted to keep them in captivity. They wanted to keep them as slaves. They wanted to keep them oppressed. So they're finding all kind of things to bring up, to say, oh, they did this in the past. They defiled kings. They were rebellious against kings. Yes, they were. And they were rebellious against God when they asked for a king. When they said they needed a king and God gave them Saul. But we all rebel against God in some way. We all become rebellious in some way. But at the end of the day, it is God. His will must stand. So as they're going on and they're highlighting all of these negative things and bringing up the past of the Jews, the king is thinking, oh no, I can't allow this to happen. If they did it to other kings, I'm not going to allow them to do it to me. The same thing with us. When we give our lives to the Lord, sometimes people see us and we're talking about God and our lives reflect that we are living a different way. They will go to other people and they will say, oh, I remember when she was a thief. Oh, I remember when she was a this. Trying to oppress the spirit that God has given you. So they bring your past because they cannot say anything about your future and they cannot say anything about the present you. So they bring your past to try and defile you. And that's exactly what they were doing. They're bringing up the past of the Jews to justify their means. But you can't justify someone's past with the destiny that God has already ordained for them, because their past sins have already been forgotten. God said that when we come to him, our sins have gone into the sea of forgetfulness. So even if they bring our sins against us, we know who we are in Christ. And we stand firm and we say, my sins have already been forgotten. Speak to me about the person that I am today. Challenge me for the person that I am today in Christ. And that's the same thing with the temple. The temple was built how many years and it was broken down, but it's being rebuilt again, being rebuilt now with a different structure, a different mindset, with God at the head. So they don't want it to be built because it's not being built off of men. It's being built off of the power and the authority of God. And they realize that these men are not operating in their own anointing. They are operating in the Spirit of God. So they had the discernment to see that when they came, they were lying. They came as thieves, working for the devil to steal, rob, and destroy. But because Christ lives in them and the same way he lives in us, we have the discernment to understand when oppression is coming. And we are prepared for that oppression. And we stand against it. And that is what they're doing in Ezra. They stood against it, but not with words or fighting back. They stood against it knowing that God is in control. And that's where we need to be today as well, brothers and sisters. Amen. So verse 17. So the king then answered. So he answered back to Rema and the commander. And this is the letter that he sent forth. And then sent in the letter, he said, peace and so forth. That part made me laugh when he said peace and so forth, because I'm like, you don't understand what is peace. A lot of us, we don't understand what is peace. Peace is the calm and the silence in the midst of a storm. The peace that we're supposed to have is the peace of Jesus that surpasses all understanding. That if we go forth for something and it is said no, that we can walk away knowing, I have the peace of God. And if that answer is no, it doesn't bother me, because once God's answer is yes, I know a yes has to come. That he is going to work in the way that he needs to work. He's going to move in the people that he needs to move to provide the yes that we need. And once we have that peace, we don't need to fear. So we don't need to worry. So I'll go forth. And it said, the letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me. And I give the command, and a search has been made. And it was found that this city in the former times has revolted against kings, and rebellious and citations has been fostered in it. So he did his research as they requested. And he came up with the same thing, but their past. The letters and the research that he got were from their past. He had no evidence for the present. So he is just relating off of the past the same way. But you see how the devil works. He can get people to jump onto that same bandwagon to come and oppress you, to put you in a position where you feel like you're back against the wall and you can do nothing. But I'll go on further. And it's verse 20. It said, there have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the regions beyond the river, and the tax, the tributes, the customs were paid to them. Now, give the command to make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. Take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase to her of the kings? So that was the reply to the, from the king. He decided that they need to cease the work, that they should not continue in building of the temple. So that in itself was the gold. That was the gold when they went forth. That was the gold when they went to Zerubbabel and Josh and said, you know what? We want to help. That was their goal. That was their intention. So this letter now going forth by the king, it might look like, you know what? They have won. We can't build the temple. We have to stop building the temple. They could be discouraged. They could be, you know, downpressed. They could be like, we thought that we received that word from God. We thought that we were acting on what God said. But look now, a king has come and said that we need to stop. But that's not the end of it. Because the king, he does not have the final say. God has the final say. And if God said, my temple is going to be rebuilt, it will be rebuilt. Because he said that he is going to think the gates of heaven. Sorry, I forgot the verse. And hell cannot prevail. He already has spoken it over our lives that no matter what the enemy comes with, we must fulfill that destiny that he has already ordained for us. We must go forth. No matter what we're facing, like we might be saying, there are not much people coming to church. But God already knows, and he already saw that a lot of people would not have come back, because the race is not for the swift, it's for those who can endure. And the ones that are willing to sacrifice in his name, the ones that are willing to push through no matter the oppression that they're facing and say that I am moving forward with the word of God and I am standing on his word, no matter what I'm seeing, no matter what I'm facing, I am standing on the word of God that he said that this church is going to be full, that he said that my children will be saved, that he said I am going to heal this land. That is the word that we are standing on today. We don't care what we are seeing. We are looking at the cross because we know that that is where victory is. Amen. Jesus faced oppression. Jesus faced oppression when he walked the earth. So who are us that he should be mindful of us, as David said? But he knows that for us to face oppression, we understand the journey. We understand the calling. Because we cannot have a testimony without a test. And God turns our mess into a message that goes forth and speak of his glory. I love when I'm being oppressed. I'm telling you, from Thursday, I had a headache, a pain in the top of my head, a pain to the back of my head. It was so excruciating. I was like, God, what is this? Then my body started to ache, my back. Pains everywhere. It was so painful. And I asked the Lord, Father, what is going on? And he said, do you not know you are giving a sermon on facing oppression, and this is the oppression that you're facing in your life? I wanted to give up. I said, God, I am not going to preach because this is too much. But as I was going over Ezra all the time, going over it, you know, I felt like, God, I can't pick anything from this. There's no word for me to give. And he said, the word that you are giving is you, your testimony of how you were in pain before you got on the pulpit to preach. But hallelujah, the pain is gone because I pushed through my oppression because I said, devil, you have no authority. I stand on the word of God. I am a temple of God. The same way that Ezra, in Ezra, they were building the temple. We are the temples of God, and we have to push through. We have to say, Father, give me the strength to endure. Give me the sight beyond sight. Open my ears that I may hear. Open my heart that I can hear also when you speak. Remove the scale from my eyes that I can see what is coming against me. I rejoice today for oppression, because that shows that I am willing to be used by God, because it's not my will and it's not my life. My life belongs to God. And if he said you go, even if you fall and you faint or you die when you're preaching, I am doing it because it's for his glory, not mine. So I just want us to, you know, rejoice in oppression, rejoice in opposition. Thank the Lord for it. Give heart that our destiny is so great that the devil fights us at every angle. Rejoice and say, you know what? I am a chosen vessel for God. I am not worthy, but he handpicked me. And I rejoice that we are facing oppression. And you know, when you go on to Ezra, you will see how God moved and gave them the victory. How God made sure that his word came to pass and the temple was built, and they didn't even have to spend their own money. They were given money by other kings. Now, is that not the power of God? That he will use the enemy to fulfill his purpose. Glory be to God. Our God is great and wonderful. I love the Lord because he first loved me. And he took his time to build me a temple that was broken and useless and had no value. And he took his time and he said, I am going to make you into something. And I am a nothing something because of God. Because if my life does not reflect or glorify God, I am a nothing. But because I allow him to use me, I am a something. But only to him. So I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, today, take heart in oppression. Take heart knowing that when we face trials, that the breakthrough is going to be wonderful. That we are going to see God's hand moving in our lives. The devil does not have the final say. God has the final say. And I stand upon the word of God. And I know we all stand upon the word of God. And I thank him. I glorify him because he is good. And remember, when we go further into Ezra, they had the victory. God gave them the victory, and that is the same thing he is going to do for us. He is going to give us the victory. He is going to make our enemies our footstool. He is going to put people in places to bless us, and they don't even understand why they are blessing us. Because he is good, and that is the power of God, and that is how his glory is shown through his children. And as Papa Jim said, we are his mouthpiece here on earth, and we cannot just think about ourselves. We have to pray for the souls that are lost, the ones that are in the darkness. Because we have the light does not mean that we are supposed to keep it to ourselves. We're to spread the light out there unto others and tell others about our good, about God's goodness. Let others see that our life match our words. Not that we speak a word, but our lives don't match it. We need to match our words with our lives. And if we say, I am standing on the word of God, that is where we stand. We can't stand on his word when things are going good, and when things become hard, we run away. No, we have to stand on his word when things are at its worst. That is when our faith is tested. That is where God says, let me see if what you said you will do. Because when we're in good health, we all jump on me. Father, you are mine. I am yours. But when sickness strikes, God, I need to go to the doctor, take these pills. We forget that we can say, by your stripes I am healed, and declare it, and we are healed. I love the Lord because he is wonderful. And it's by his grace and his mercies that I can stand today and I can give a testimony of how he brought me through my oppression. And I just glorify him, and I hope that has blessed everyone, because definitely it has blessed me, and I know that his word has gone forth to produce what he needed to get out there. So I bless you all, and I wish you all a wonderful week. We'll see you again next Sunday.
Father God, I just ask that you bless Carrie right now. Mighty God, Lord, I just ask that you strengthen that anointing that is upon her. And mighty God, let her be heard, and let no one hinder the gift that you've given to her. Lord, bless her. I pray, mighty God, that any sign of that oppression that she had in the week is gone right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we just thank you once again that you've dwelt with us, that you've been here, Lord, that you have raised us up again, that you've strengthened us, Lord, that you've shown us that you are still at work, that you have not left us. Father God, we bless you. We praise you. And Lord, I just pray for all these dear people here in this congregation today, Lord. May your blessing be upon them. May your peace be upon them. May your joy be in their hearts. Amen.